Now this month marks 30 years since the passage of the Americans with Disabilities Act, or the ADA. It was the first comprehensive civil rights law in the United States for people with disabilities. A new book shares stories from a number of authors, in part to mark that anniversary. It's called Disability Visibility, First-Person Stories from the 21st Century. The book's a collection of essays, testimonies, blog posts, manifestos, all written by people living with disabilities. Amanda Riom is a feminist activist and writer who contributed to the Disability Visibility anthology with her essay, Why My Novel is Dedicated to My Disabled Friend, Maddie. Amanda, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. Hi.
And Alice Wong is a disabled activist and the founder and director of the Disability Visibility Project. She's editor of the new book. Alice, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Alice, what inspired you to start gathering stories from people living with disabilities for your Disability Visibility Project?
Well, I think it started when I was really a young person. You know, I was more disabled. I knew that I was different from everybody else at a very young age. And I really didn't see or saw myself reflected much in books, film, television, you name it. And, you know, I thought that was normal. You know, I didn't realize that I was part of this larger history, this larger culture and community until I was a little bit older, let's say in my teenage and early adult years. So speaking of the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, I was a sophomore when it passed in 1990. And, you know, it's really changed a lot of lives. And by becoming connected to the disability community as I got older, I just really became a fan. You know, I've read so many amazing books, essays, just tweets by disabled people. And I think at the heart of a lot of what I do is that, you know, I love to hype the work of other disabled artists, activists, and writers. And this is really just a collection of work that I feel like is speaking to the present in the terms of these are 21st century stories, which means they're published from the year 2000 to 2019.
Amanda, Alice talked about the importance of community. She writes about that also in her introduction. And the story you share in the book really speaks to that. Can you share some of your piece, Why My Novel is Dedicated to My Disabled Friend, Maddie? Talk about the relationship that inspired this piece.
Yeah, so unlike Alice, I became disabled about 3 years ago when I had a severe head injury that I had to learn how to kind of walk and talk again after that. And it's left me with a lot of severe impairments around fatigue, as well as a complication with using computer screens. Now, unfortunately, I was and still am a writer. And so writers need screens in order to write their work. So what happened after I was injured, I became really frustrated and a bit depressed because I was trying to finish a novel, which was basically done when I was injured. And I just didn't have the capacity to edit it on the screen. So I printed it out and was trying to edit it that way. But because of the visual impairments I have or visual processing issues I have, I couldn't then transfer the edit. So I thought I was doomed never to write again. But I ran into or I met a woman named Maddie who it turns out also had a head injury. And what was interesting about that is that we ended up figuring a way where we could help each other. Maddie was struggling to find full-time work because of her head injury. and needed some flexible part-time work, and I needed someone to help me transcribe my edits. And so that's essentially what Maddie did. And it's a really great metaphor for what a lot of people within the disability community like to talk about a lot, which is the fact that we are all far more interdependent than we like to think we are, even though disabled people are often more visibly interdependent or seen as interdependent by others, all of us experience different levels of interdependence, and none of us can actually survive without each other. So my story is really a beautiful story about disabled interdependence and community, in which two people with very similar but slightly different injuries were able to help each other not just achieve goals, but also heal in a lot of ways through community.
We're talking to Alice Wong and Amanda Riom about the new anthology called Disability Visibility, First Person Stories from the 21st Century. Alice, Amanda was giving us a sense there of the diversity of stories also shared in this anthology. A lot of people with different kinds of disabilities and different backgrounds, sometimes being members of ethnic groups or having other things that that work with their disabilities to give them other challenges in life. Can you talk about the importance of representing this wide scope of experience here?
Well, I think that this is part of the thing that's really misunderstood about disability is that, you know, we exist in every single community, and that, you know, for a long time, I think the overall representation of disability, whether it's in history or popular culture, let's say, has been overwhelmingly white, and it's often focused on what we think of as apparent disabilities. But, you know, for example, somebody who uses sign language, a wheelchair user, somebody who might use a service animal. You know, the reality is it's much more broad and, you know, nuanced. There's a lot of people with non-apparent disabilities that are often just not represented or not even truly included. For example, you know, people with chronic illnesses, people with pain, you know, people with intellectual disabilities, people with mental health disabilities. There's a lot of people who are definitely considered, protected under the Americans with Disabilities Act that may never identify or say the word disabled, but, you know, they're definitely considered part of the community. At least that's my personal approach and my personal opinion. That's, you know, we need to make sure that people feel seen and heard, and that they don't have to use certain words, but that they're welcome into this very, you know, diverse and complicated, non-monolithic community.
And Amanda, Alice mentioned the public perception of people living with disabilities. And you talk about that a little in your piece. A lot of times the story is, I think, what some people call inspiration porn. There's this one person and they pull themselves up. They overcome the obstacles on their own through grit and gumption. And I think in your essay, you make the case, as you were saying earlier, it's more complicated than that. And it's more, again, more of a community approach than we sometimes see.
Yeah, and I've written about this elsewhere as well. So I was injured with a head injury. And so the idea is that we often think people recover, and we valorize stories when people recover. So what does that mean for people like me and like my friend Maddie, who don't recover, who have severe impacts? It often means that the way people perceive us is somehow deficient, in that we haven't tried enough to recover, or we haven't, or if we tried harder, we would recover in the future. So this whole idea of the super crip, which is often talked about, is kind of this narrative that's constructed. It's supposedly supposed to be fun and lovely to and heartwarming, but it actually serves to cause harm to a lot of disabled people. So I've experienced a lot of ableism. I have what's known as an invisible disability. So if you meet me, if you see me, there's nothing visible about me that's disabled, or that you would recognize as a disability, what we see as visible disabilities. But I could have severe symptoms right in front of you, and you wouldn't be able to know it. And so it's that disjunction between the lack of visibility and the fact that a lot of people end up not believing people who have invisible disabilities. So things like chronic illness or pain, or and part of mine is my disability is chronic fatigue. And people don't believe that. And people only want to celebrate those people who somehow overcome different aspects or recover. And that's not all of us. And we can still live wonderful and beautiful lives despite that, and lives that are extremely valuable and interconnected with disabled and non-disabled people alike.
We're talking to Alice Wong and Amanda Riom about the new anthology, Disability Visibility, First Person Stories from the 21st Century. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a disability and a story to share with us? What would you like people to know? What are you thinking about on the 30th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act? Are there issues of access or of discrimination that still need to be solved? Call 800-642-1234. 1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation with Alice Wong, editor of the new book Disability Visibility, First Person Stories from the 21st Century. Amanda Riom is also with us, one of the contributors to that anthology. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Is there a book, a movie, or other media about and by people with disabilities you'd like to recommend? Or do you have questions for our guests? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Alice, one thing that struck me about a lot of the essays is that people are expressing the joy they take in their lives. It's not just about the obstacles and challenges. It's not in any way a request for pity from other people, whether it's, I think, a Muslim person with cerebral palsy talking about the joy of fasting during Ramadan, as tough as that can be, or stories of the creativity or embracing community. Can you talk about the importance of that part of the story?
Yeah, I mean, I think we can't separate all of the joys and brilliance and innovation and all of the beauty that comes from having a being disabled. And I think, this sounds very, to the non-disabled people in the audience, they may be shocked, they may be kind of surprised that there is joy. And I think, this is not to gloss over the very real challenges, but I would also say that, there is so much brilliance. There's so much just culture that's created by disabled people. And this is very much, I think, in opposition to, prevailing ideas that still that disability is a problem to be fixed, and that, disabled, disability is much of an individual phenomenon versus a collective movement. And that's how I really do see it. And I do hope that people become a little bit interested if they get to read this book and then discover more. In the back of my book, I do have a list of readings and resources if the people want to read more. So this is just a snapshot of 37 stories that I personally think are powerful, personal, and very political. And I really hope this gets people excited and curious.
And Amanda, as a creative person before your disability and now still after it, can you talk about the importance of, for you and the other contributors in this book, all very creative people, of expressing that creative side, sharing it, and other people paying attention to the creative works by people with disabilities?
Yeah, I think for me, it was interesting. When I was injured right afterwards, I told people I wouldn't write about my injury. That there were so many stories about people recovering from injuries. But disability changed my life, and it changed my life in part because of the ableism I experienced. So many people don't understand disability who are non-disabled, and they treat disabled people in really horrific and horrendous ways, in ways that in the first couple of years after my disability, I literally had to cut most of my former friends and even some family members out of my life because they couldn't figure out how to understand what I was going through and even just believe me when I was in pain. The idea that we don't believe people who have invisible disabilities, or we don't believe people who have disabilities, or the rhetoric in which we think there is no such thing as disabled joy, or where we bring suspicion and doubt to people who say that they're disabled or have chronic illness. These are really, really painful narratives to the disabled community, and they are very harmful. One of the things that I think is important and about writing about disability and why I write about it is to articulate the way in which that ableism harms. And that's actually, I write a lot about the joy, but there's a pain in this story too. The reason why Maddie and I connected so much was because we were the first people who could understand what it was like to go that we had met that who could understand what it was like to go through that. We became disabled and were surrounded by family members and friends who didn't understand and treated us in just horrific ways because they didn't understand. And so what I'm so happy about in seeing more work by disabled writers getting more visibility is that hopefully people will listen to that and they'll take some time to understand the way marginalization and oppression and the toxic narratives that we have about disability are causing very real harms interpersonally to disabled people, but also systemically by the way that we exclude disabled people from employment, in the ways that we deal with them in regards to social services. Disabled people often don't get enough funding in order to, like, who aren't able to work don't get funding in order to cover their basic needs. And this is terrible. This is horrible. This is a tragedy. And reading about disabled people and their lives, it's my hope that people who are disabled will feel a kinship in that pain and feel like they're not alone, but then also people who are non-disabled will maybe think a bit about how they've been acting and the ways in which marginalization and oppression occur around disabled people, especially those with intersecting marginalizations, as you were saying earlier, and change both interpersonally and our structures.
I want to bring on a caller now. Ellen is with us in Cedarburg. Ellen, hello.
Hi, I'm calling just to thank the two ladies for their work. I guess I have what could be called an invisible disability of the psychological depression and anxiety throughout my life, and it really has always been a struggle to feel like I'm of any kind of value or any kind of success. And the people that I found that helped me were other people with these types of disabilities, especially a group called the Grand Avenue Club here in Milwaukee. And I just found, I found that people have incredible beauty and strength. And I just want to thank these two ladies for showing us that.
Ellen, thank you so much for the call. Alice, Ellen kind of illustrates what you were saying earlier about the importance of hearing stories from other people with similar life situations, with similar, and in this case, struggles with depression for Ellen. In our last minute or so, Alice, talk about your hopes a little more for what comes out of this book and the stories in it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing this, Ellen. You know, I really do hope that for the disabled readers of this book, that they feel seen and heard, that they realize that they are enough, and you know, any kind of feeling of just, you know, there's power in connecting with one another. And whether it's through friends, to our peers, or groups, there is real power when we are able to really tell our truths and share it with the world. So I just want to thank you for sharing your story with us, Ellen, and, you know, for everybody who's out there who is ready or not ready yet to be part of the disability community. I just do hope that people know that you are enough and that you are welcome and, you know, we're here. And I think that's all. I'll just end it like that.
That's a great place to end it. Alice, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Rob.
And Amanda, thanks for being with us.
Thank you so much.
Alice Wong is editor of the new anthology called Disability Visibility, First Person Stories from the 21st Century. She's also founder and director of the Disability Visibility Project. Also with us, Amanda Riom, a writer with a disability who is one of the essayists contributing to that book.